It is September the 8th, 2013. Oh my gosh, how did we get to this point? Almost to the fall equinox. This is an amazing, amazing progression of seasons and times. It feels like the summer should still be here. When I think about all the changes and that we, so many of us have been through, how fast we've moved in only 3 or 4 months, I can only imagine how vital and wonderful the fall season will be and our new year of 2014. Despite the rumors and the fears in the world, I remain optimistic that while there is usually a dark side to our progress upwardly, we also are moving to a very bright level where life will be better for us in so many ways as we embrace our understanding about life, as we join together with those whom we feel ourselves extending to life through. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about today is how we find the perfect extensions of our life. This thought came up when I was driving home yesterday. I had a 13-hour drive from El Paso to Sedona on the last leg of my journey, getting in, well, pretty late, but thanks to the time zones shifting in my favor, I think I got in about 9 o'clock. So it was still 13 hours, though. And I was wondering if my little Jeep Cherokee was as tired as I was. And I began to talk to her, and I decided to call her my little pony. And so I would ask my little pony when she needed to stop and rest and get some food, and I would take a comfort stop as well. And I began to, as I talked to my little pony, I began to feel her as an extension of me. And the drive became better. It was more comfortable, and it even seemed like we got better gas mileage, but that might have just been because we got a tailwind instead of a headwind. You know, there are always logical external beta reasons why things happen, but at least subjectively, for whatever reason, it felt that my little pony and me, we were coming down the road, doing better because she was an extension of me, and I was there as her traveling partner. Well, that thought began to gravitate into an awareness of all the ways we do life and how every dimension of our life becomes better when we become more closely united with our traveling partners through life, whether it's family or our mates or our best friends or our community or where we live, when we can actually see that what we do for another is exactly what we do for ourselves. And for me, that was the existential revelation of the second commandment that Yeshua gave us, to love another as ourselves. I always thought of that more in terms of the golden rule, like you're over there, I'm over here, let's share equally and let's care for one another. But in this moment when I was talking to my little pony, I saw, oh, this is way more than that. This is about being one another. This is about granting, yes, the sovereignty to another to make their own choices in life. So it's not an extension of control over someone else. And yet, it's an empathic extension of ourself into a larger dynamic where our communities just become better communities because as we take care of ourselves, we're taking care of our community. As we take care of ourselves, we're automatically taking better care of the ones we love and more able to receive the blessings from the ones we love. So the second commandment took on a great deal more meaning for me. It's not just about the reciprocal give and take of two separate beings. It's about the union of two beings who, while still unique in their own right and power, become one functioning unit. And it seemed as though I crossed a threshold in having that little conversation with my pony. And I could feel the three different states that I moved through, Texas to New Mexico to Arizona, and within Arizona, many, many districts from the desert land and the wide open badlands to the beautiful mountains around Tucson and Phoenix. And then as I drove into Sedona, I couldn't see it because it was after dark, but I could feel when I crossed the line of home and how much through the years, through the 14 years of being here, Sedona and I have become a unity of spirit. And I felt myself cross into that more central, that inner circle of, places to which I belong that have accepted me as part of itself. And then as I was chilling out, getting ready for bed, I was thinking about how much this was actually the blessing of Yeshua's life to all of us. He came here not as a deity to sit on a throne or even a master to teach, being higher and better than we were. He came here to actually walk among us and become as we are and allow us to know that as we receive that gift, we shall become as he is. And that was the ultimate consummation of my progression of epiphanies and thoughts and luxurious realizations as I drove from Texas back to my current home, which is Sedona. We may be moving to Texas. Who knows? It's we're prospecting on that idea. But when I was in North Texas, the home of my ancient roots, I think that's what started me thinking about this, because I had been there first. I took my mother's sculpture and my paintings of her garden. We had a great reunion, and I was able to really nurture the roots of my being and feel at one with my best friend that I grew up with and family and people whose faces I haven't seen in maybe 20 years or longer. It was a great, great reunion, and it was wonderful to be in the place where those exchanges that I'm talking about, the type of union that I'm talking about, endures. My hometown doesn't look the same. And like the old adage goes, you can never go home again because there's so many changes. But there's one level on which you can go home again. Always, to every home you've ever known, from heaven to your hometown to any close friendship you've ever had, close relationship, you can go home in your heart. I really learned, I already knew because I trust in faith, but it was further confirmation that whatever you have taken into your heart for the completion of your being is part of you forever. Your heart is forever. And I think this is one of the things that we are experiencing as a community. We come together on Sundays, and in most cases, we've never seen each other's face, but we've heard each other's voice, and in the sharing of thoughts and voices, we're becoming one heart. And actually, one of the steps in the blessing protocol, which, of course, our blessing givers understand, and more of you and more at some time will become blessing givers. At one step in the protocol, we embrace the one heart that we share. And the blessing is actually given not by the heart of the blessing giver, but it's given through the one heart we share from the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, and the power of God. But it is carried through the one heart that is called together. In that one heart, we are united. And I was really appreciating how all the disagreements we have in life, the nitpicking annoyances we have nothing to do with the one heart we share. We could argue from sunrise till sunset, and yet at the end of the day, none of that matters compared to the one heart that unites us, whether by history or by common connection in present time. We resolve ourselves in prayer and meditation or just in quiet love at the end of our day into the one heart we share with those who we have united with in our life. And I think that there's a powerful realization here that points to the ascension that we all seek. We're wondering, how will this happen? How will we ascend? In the last few weeks, I've been focusing upon a very important part of that subject, and that is to liquefy, or at least in terms of your thoughts and feelings, the solidity of the material world around you so that you can see the basic physicalness of it that can change, that you can move and you can change, and you can trade out things, and one thing can become another because in your world it's still liquid and you're not bound by chains to your attachment of the material. Yes, it's true, we do need physical support, but it's up to us to decide how solid we determine that support to be, how flexible we will allow that support to be, and how living we elect our physical support to be. Just a perfect example is, do you eat junk food or do you eat living food? The living food is far more in the realm of the physical. The junk food has been through so many levels of processing and manufacture that by the time you ingest it, it's got configurations of chemicals and preparation and recipes and combinations of little microchemicals, not to mention the way the food itself has been processed and put together, that in many cases, your body literally cannot break it down. It's just like we can't put our fist through the wall of our home because the configurations are so solid. But now, there are ways we can begin to, by understanding the difference between the essential physical and the material configurations it became, we can begin to put our attention more on the living physical, the fluid physical, the things that can change, the things that can move forward. And we can begin to unload from our life some of the hard, tangible configurations that have trapped us, that we work very hard to serve. They don't serve us anymore. We serve them. And so I'm shifting a little bit now to the other side of ascension of, well, what will ascend? The first thing that will ascend is your heart. No question about it. I mean, I saw through many areas of geography, many areas of reconnection, the opportunity to think about where will my new home be? And I realized that my new home will be where my loved ones are, where my heart is, just as Yeshua said. I mean, he said it so literally. Where your heart is, there you will be also. I mean, you can't say it any more simply than that. He's a master of simplicity that eludes our complex thinking. But I went through a long journey of realizing, as long as I'm with my heart and those I love through my heart who unite with me in my heart, it almost doesn't matter where I live. I do have my preferences, yes, we all do. But the more we can make our preferences from our heart and not from the things we have always desired or coveted or set up as an objective goal, the freer we are. And I think this is one of the reasons that going all the way back to the Ten Commandments of Moses, he said, don't covet. Well, there are lots of reasons not to covet. One is it takes you off of your own desire and purpose line. Another, it takes you out of respecting what other people have accomplished. And third, it puts you into perpetual envy and competition. But the biggest reason I can find in relation to the second commandment of Yeshua and what he says about being where your heart is that coveting takes us out of it. It makes us think if we had this or that material thing, or if we had this or that achievement or some accomplishment or position of influence, then all would be well. It's the great deceiver in relation to our heart. So let's go back to the two relevant things Yeshua said about what I'm thinking and presenting today. Where your heart is, there you will be also. Love one another as yourself. And even melt down the barriers between yourself and others. And I thought, well, now how can we do that when we've got to find a place for people and actions, not so much people but actions, that we still disagree with? Well, there are zones of intimacy. The people close and the things and the activities closest to us would be right there in the zone of intimacy around our heart. And then a little bit larger zone that would include our preferred place to be, our work, the groups we work with, our community, where we live. And then a little bit more, a bigger zone would be what's going on in the world, what's really good about the world, and how would I like to be a contribution to either make it better or fix some problem. And then we've got the whole field of nature. I had an interesting conversation while I was thinking about these things with somebody who's asked me about cats and dogs. And they said, oh, I'm a dog person. I would never be a cat person. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I've heard this 1,000 times. And I didn't realize what they were really saying. Because every one of them would say, you know, if it was a cat person, they'd say, you know, I also like dogs, but I'm a cat person. Or the dog person would say, you know, I like cats. I've been around them. It's not that I don't like them, but I'm a dog person. And I thought, this is exactly what I'm realizing. They can become a symbiotic unit with dogs or cats more easily than they can the other. I was having some conversations about people who just cannot eat certain types of food. And I realized they cannot become symbiotically unified with the kinds of food they can't eat. And I really took that conversation all the way through the rings of life. Let's just say there are 10 or 12 rings of life leading out to the universe and seeing where we can become, each of us, symbiotically unified with that which we include in our life. Just pushing all judgment aside. In fact, judgment's a waste of time. Total waste of time. What we need to have our attention on is what do we want to be unified with? What supports us? What do we support? What do we take unto ourself? And as we nurture ourselves and give back in return, nurturing to others, we create literally a miraculous aura of life, of spirit, and of energy around us that does nothing but grow and expand and lift us to a higher level, and in the process, making the rest of it quite irrelevant. If there was a mountain over there I didn't care to climb, I would say, well, bless you. May others enjoy climbing you. I'm climbing this mountain. Judgment would become irrelevant. I wouldn't need to be annoyed that there was a mountain over there I couldn't climb because I would never put my attention on it. There's plenty of mountains to climb in life, and you can always find one that has the right path for you. As long as you're climbing your mountain, you're growing in a symbiotic unity with the things that love you, that you love, that serve you, that you can serve in return, that you can be united with. That's more than any one person can handle. The universe is so abundant. The only reason I think we've ever gotten stuck on scarcity and then fussed about it and we've judged it is sometime in our life we felt some compelling urge to have something that really didn't belong to us. And I'm not talking about stealing. I'm not talking about not paying for something. You can pay for something all you want, but if it doesn't belong to you really, truly, in depth, it will never unite with you. You will never unite with it, and you're wasting your life energy. And I think this is one of the reasons so many people had a difficulty understanding the difference between material and physical. Because even things that are in a material form, if you unite with them, they move into an energetic meltdown when you come around. It's like they light up and love you. And they say, welcome home. We've missed you. And yes, we see the material form of those things, but we don't stumble on it. I have this Victorian dresser, which is one of my most cherished possessions, because it was the first major thing I bought in my life. It was created about 1850, and I was 9 years old when I purchased it for $15. We were going to, my mom and I went to one of these big, big Victorian homes that had become, well, it was condemned because the wiring just wasn't good enough and it had to be torn down. And they were selling the antiques there. So I've had it since I was 9 years old, and I now use it for my altar and my most precious little artifacts. The first edition of each one of my books is on it. And you could say that's material. And surely it is. If somebody saw it, they would be looking at it, and they would see, well, this is wood and metal, and they would see the artifacts on it and the little flower arrangement I have on it. But I walk in the room and I look right through it. and it gives me energy. It and I united a long time ago, and I would never put it in a resale shop because I know when the time comes to pass it on, the right person will energetically be brought into my life that I will know this dresser belongs to. So, yes, there is an illusion of the material. But when it's the right material for you, a unity occurs, and the heart rules, and the heart knows how to manage that. Now, it's time to take this message today and move it into our blessing, because, as you know, in the blessing, I ask you to join, to just drop your attention away from your mind and allow it to fall into your heart. Be in the place where you are at one with your life, your dreams, all that you've loved, everyone you've loved, your community of love, and the things you love that love you back, that are there because they mean something to you. The places you live because it's right. And the things you desire because they're right for your life. And I hope that this has clarified and put together some of the messages we've been having for the last 3 or 4 weeks, because they're all coming back to the heart. And next week we'll talk about how the whole power of love makes this possible. But for now, I want to offer the blessing. And I would invite any blessing givers who wish to join me to do so now. The rest of you, please just be seated with bare feet on the ground, your head pointed to heaven and uncovered, and just allow your attention to go into your heart and begin your prayer for 3 minutes. Pray from your heart in whatever way feels the closest to God, whether it's in silence, in words, or movement, or whatever. I will offer an invocation to Yeshua, and then the blessing givers and I will conduct the protocol, the movements of the blessing, and let you know when we're finished. Then be sure and rest for at least 7 minutes so that you can be fully nourished and lifted up by what you're given in the blessing. So let us begin. Beloved Yeshua, Son of God, Brother of Man, the one who is with us and has united with us, that we may see through you the Christ consciousness and live in the Christ consciousness as we arrive in our own personal fulfillment. Thank you for offering this blessing to those who have congregated today, and to everyone in their life, and to everyone in all the circles of life around them, and to all of nature and our earth. I thank you so much for bringing us through our adventures and our trials and troubles, and allowing us to just set aside the outer part of the story, that we may return home to the heart of our being and know the truth that dwells there. Amen. The blessing has been given. You are blessed and richly loved. Now I ask you to go and receive the gift you've been given by just resting for 7 minutes. Don't think. Just be quiet, be still, and receive. I love you so much, and I'm so glad to be back on the call with you. I'll be with you next week. Bye-bye.